The Fujicast is an independent Loading Zone production.
Kev, spring has sprung. We're actually recording this on Good Friday because we're both doing stuff over the next week. And I know this one goes out on the Monday. Oh, it's so hard to keep up with Kev. But it being Easter weekend as we record this, that means you will have gone to church 1,786 times.
It'll feel like that. It has felt like that.
What is your job as head of church, Kev?
It's not a job. I'm a part of the Eucharistic minister team. So
yeah, which means what to a sort of a normal...
That means I can distribute the host and the wine.
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have talked about it before.
It's not real wine, is it?
No. It's not wine like you buy in the co-op. But
What is it then, Kev? What?
I don't really know what it is exactly. It's more like sweet sherry, I suppose. It's not very alcoholic. It's a tiny amount of less alcohol than in a non-alcoholic beer, I would have thought.
Really?
You literally just have a tiny sip.
Do you remember Dave Allen, the comedian?
Do you remember Dave Allen?
One of his, you'll have to look him up on YouTube if you...
Australian guy, wasn't he?
I don't think Dave Allen. No, he's Irish. He was Irish.
Was he?
Yeah. Dave Allen. Let me just check. Dave Allen, he used to... he used to play the part of priests, didn't he? Do you remember? And one of his always one of his here we go. David Tynan O'Mahony, not very Australian, known professionally as Dave Allen, was an Irish comedian, satirist, and actor. He was best known for his observational comedy. He regularly provoked indignation by highlighting political hypocrisy and showing disdain for religious authority, which he did. I think he was he quite religious himself, though? I don't know. Anyway, he would always play the part of the priest who would be out the back swigging the communion wine. So you're saying there's no point doing that? There'll be more alcohol in a...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it might be different in Ireland. And there's not a lot of it goes on at Easter anyway, so none of that really happens.
So not handing out wine, not handing out bread?
Not really. So just go and do your thing and then come home.
You're not really selling the entertainment factor to me.
The Fujicast.
I was thinking I could be down there. But
I go twice today.
Do you go twice today? Well, we're recording this on Good Friday, so I appreciate you're working on a day where you would usually not choose to work. But you're going twice today.
I am going twice today.
Right. And but on both occasions, same sort of job, yeah?
Yeah, then no job. There is no job.
Okay. This is the most enlightening conversation we've ever had at the start of a programme.
Can you tell? Before the show, we had a conversation about what should we talk about?
Yeah.
Nothing's happening in my life.
I usually lean on you, Kev, because you're normally doing starry stuff, but the less you work, the less starry you are. It's going to be stories about you doing nothing at church.
New
socks and mucking out the horses. God, this is not going to help listener ratings, Kev. Can't we get you back into gainful employment? Right, welcome to the Fujicast. You and your questions sent in to click@fujicast.co.uk or via the Facebook. How are we doing on Facebook with
We've had one question.
What?
In fact, we've had two questions in the last 3 weeks. However, we have got a stack that we haven't got to yet. So
good.
No drama yet.
There's quite a few emails. I don't know what. Yeah. Okay. So we got questions. We don't have to do one of our "Is this worth doing anymore, Kev?" moments, which usually reveals a plethora of questions. But before we start, we should say thank you to Pick Time for sponsoring this show. They've been with us for quite a while now, and I know that many people who've listened have gone on to use Pick Time. You've met them met quite a few at the photography show. That's what we should have talked about. How did your photography show thing go? We'll come back to that. So you met a few at the photography show, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people talking about using Pick Time. Quite a few Fujicast listeners I bumped into, various stuff like that. So I know for a fact from Pick Time that quite a few people have subscribed. And I also know that there is some amazing updates coming. Can't really say too much more, but yeah, there's some good stuff happening on Pick Time in the future.
What do you know?
I did a wedding in February, uploaded it a couple of days ago, kind of did my usual thing where I have a section for color, a section for black and white,
yeah.
And it's the first time I use the AI face recognition.
And how do, for those saying what the AI, what does that bring to the party?
So you can switch on, and when you upload your images, when you put your gallery live, you can switch on the AI face recognition. And what that means is it will create a little thumbnail of all the people it recognizes in the picture at the top of the gallery.
Right.
So Auntie Maud can just click on her own head and see all the pictures that she features in, if she so wishes. Or it's also clever enough to figure out what bridal prep is, or ceremony pictures, all of that kind of stuff. It's quite incredible. AI is this insane juggernaut that is basically, I mean, I might not be me. I might be an auto-generated, my voice.
Well, you won't have heard this, but I did on the Photo Walk podcast, on the Extra Mile, so the Patreon one. I did a couple of weeks ago, I call it a sketch. So it went down well in most circles. It wasn't universally appreciated because I think because it was so good that the setup that I did for it was, I think disturbed. Is that the right phrase? I don't want to get in trouble, Kev. I'm always in trouble. One particular listener who was, whoa. I said, I had to sort of, but like an illusionist, I had to set up this sort of scenario that I was in a cafe. So I went and got cafe sound effects. That's an easy bit to do. And the next bit I set up was that I had two friends with me. One female, one male friend, both from the voiceover industry. And we were sat down having a coffee chat. And it was about the AI industry, and it was about the sound AI industry. At the end of it, I came clean and said, you know what you've just been listening to? You haven't been listening to three people having a chat about voice AI. You've been listening to me playing the part of three people. Me obviously playing me, but the other two people were also me. As I did my intonation, the AI followed my intonation, and it made me into... it made me into the two characters. I think one was Chloe, one was Simon. And for many people, it was a very, very convincing chat. I think Chloe was slightly more electronic than Simon was, but it was blooming good, Kev. That's the juggernaut of AI in the voice world.
So, it is insane. Absolutely. I remember last year, you know, when I was still doing my radio shows, I did an entire show with the voice, like the talky bits, AI generated. But it wasn't, I didn't do it, so it sounded like me. I just with this kind of really lush female voice. And I just typed in all the stuff that I would have I would have said. And it was really funny because it was just far more elegant. There was no ums, there was no ahs, there was no coughing, you know, but I had to type it all in. But it was it was an interesting experiment.
Yeah, but I think people do like the human side of voice. Yeah. And being able to digress, etc. But you're right. It's amazing what it can do. And I would imagine a year ago it wasn't great at intonation. Now it's just amazing. Do you know how long you have to speak into I was going to say a tape machine, Grandad. You only have to offer up 1 minute of yourself to be absolutely cloned.
Yeah.
1 minute in voice terms. That's nothing at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were talking about AI, but sorry, pick time. The juggernaut that's coming down the road is already here, and it's being used on pick time for good measure.
Yeah, in that case, it is a very good, you know, because that's a productivity enhancement rather than a kind of job replacement type thing. So yeah, you just kind of switched it. I switched it. The first time I'd done it, first time I'd had a wedding since they launched this. I don't know whether the clients have used it.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from them. So, but it looks nice, just like everything with PicTime. It just looks beautiful. You know, the design, the flow, the heuristics of the page, it's just excellent. So, yeah, new feature gets a tick.
Ding! Go to pic-time.com. And then if you want to join, type in FujiCast and you'll get 1 month absolutely free. Right. Who wants to go with the first question, Kev?
I'll go.
Go on then.
Tracy, I'm starting from the top. the ones we haven't got to yet. So this is actually from 12 weeks ago. Tracy Marie Smith. I probably need to upgrade the XT4 at some point. I have the XH2S, which I do love. And being a dog stroke equine photographer, I'm just wondering if the XT5 would be better. I love the ergonomics of the XT range.
Well, if you're an XT user, the 4 to 5, I mean, the difference is the 40 megapixel sensor, isn't it, for a start?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big upgrade.
Correct. That's about it, though, really, because the XT4 and the XT5 use the same sensor.
Yeah.
Now, if you're upgrading from the XT3 to the XT5 is a huge leap. Upgrading from the XT3 to the XT4 is also a big leap. Upgrading from the XT4 to the XT5 is not a enormous leap in terms of performance. There is a little bit better because it's got a new kind of processing engine, jiggery-pokery going on. Yeah. But obviously the big feature there is the IBIS and the bigger megapixels. So if that is what you think you need, Tracy, if that's what you're losing out on, yeah, then yes, it would be an upgrade. However, because you have the XH2S, which is a speed demon in its own right,
yes,
then maybe you don't.
Unless you want the megapixels, in which unless case you don't want the H2S, do you want the H2?
Yes, exactly. But, I think dog equine photographer, you need speed.
Yes.
Speed, 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 speed.
It is all about speed.
And presumably that's why you've gone for the XH2S rather than the XH2. If it were me, I'd flog the XH2S, get rid of it. Get rid of the XT4, get two XT5s.
Would you? Okay.
That's just me.
Yeah, but you are an XT man, aren't you? You do like your XT.
Well, I'm an ex-pro man, but that seems to have been forgotten. So I just don't like the XH range.
Yeah, I don't think the X-Pro has been forgotten, is it? I thought the roadmap would would find its way onto the highway at some stage.
Maybe. I mean, the last time the managers were interviewed and it was shared on Fuji Rumors, I can't remember where they were interviewed, France or something, yeah, they said, no, we haven't forgotten it. But you might have to wait.
Yeah. This one is from, I've got two. There's a very, very short one here, Kevin. I'm sort of wincing as I read it. I'm sort of looking out one corner of my eye, expecting you to swipe me digitally across the ether. Joachim Herremans, I hope I pronounced your name correctly, from Antwerp in Belgium. I would like to hear Kevin say the names of the upcoming X100 lines. Let's just get this one out of the way, Kev. Especially the X100 V111 and the X100 1X. What are they going to be?
Just like you just called them.
No. By that stage, Kev, even you are going to say that's just a little bit finicky to say. Should we wait until it happens? Maybe they'll change the name to something completely different. Perhaps, as was suggested at the House of Photography, there could be an X200 at some stage. Because at what point do you say, the question was asked, at one point do you say, look, we've gone about as far as we can with the X100. We're going to have to make it just a little bit larger for a different kind of battery, for all the other things that you've asked for, maybe a twin card slot. So here's the X200 and start all over. What do you think?
Maybe. Who knows?
What do you think? Do you think?
No
do you
idea.
Think, do you think that would be a good idea, Kev? Do you think that's a goer, that one?
Well, I always think whenever any camera manufacturer brings out a new camera, you know, the truth of it is that it's always a race, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, Fujifilm bring out the latest bells and whistles camera, then Canon bring out one that's got even more bells and whistles, then Sony, then Nikon. Leica just bring out heavy, really expensive cameras that don't have quite as many bells and whistles. And I always think, how are they going to make the next one better?
Yeah.
But they always do, somehow.
Yeah.
And the reason why they do that is because they're camera designers and engineers, and we're not.
But
that's the reason why they can figure it out and we can't.
But I did think that idea was Neil Ford, actually, to give him correct credit and due in that. I was having it was a discussion we had, actually, on the way up to London, where he said to me, I don't know, what do you think about this idea? And he sort of mooted this idea of, at some stage, the X100 going so far and having everything you can put into it, as far as you can go before somebody says, do you know what, it's time to change this quite radically.
Well, all camera lines have an end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they all do, don't they? You know, they don't go on forever. Same as cars.
No.
Don't see any Ford Capris anymore.
Oh, they're nice though, Kev. In the old days, I used to think, who wants a Ford Capri? It looks a little bit Essex, boy. Excuse me for those that live in Essex. But it was, let's be honest.
I loved it. It was my, when I was I used to be a milk boy, and the milkman, Mike Meller, he had a lot of stories, but he also had a black Ford Capri 2.8 litre injection.
What, the one with the net headrests?
I can't remember the net headrests, yeah. But I just remember, you know, he used to bring me back from the dairy sometimes, and he'd just put his foot down, and it would be... We'd be about 10 seconds ahead of where our asses were.
Yeah, but let's remember, you had just spent the last hour and a half in a milk float. Anything's going to be quicker.
This is true. Those were the days. And I used to stand on the back, on the axle at the back of the milk float, holding on for dear life.
What?
And trundled along.
Health and safety, Kev.
The A48.
Health and safety.
Oh, it was brilliant. Used to love it. Used to do all the milk bottle sorting while we were traveling.
Fantastic. Did you ever drop any?
Oh, yeah, loads. I used to be able to hold, hang on, I need to count it now. I used to be able to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in my right hand.
Right.
And then 4 in my left hand.
Have you got hands as big as, like, plates or something?
No, it was a clever way. The five, you put your 4 in the middle, between your fingers, and then you plop one right in the middle of your palm. The problem with that technique, though, is if you then fill up your other hand, is you can't fill the other hand up with 5 because you need to put the milk bottles down and release. You can't, if you've got 5 on each hand, you can't put the bottles down and release because you've got ones in the palm.
Never knew you were a milkman, Kev.
Hey? Yep.
I worked at a petrol station in the days when it was attended service petrol stations at National Garage.
that is going back.
No, I think we were one of the
last. I saw a documentary on the History Channel about those.
Yes, it was one of the last in, where were we, in Hartford. And we used to have a massive queue when I was on, because everybody, all the older generation, would turn up, because there was the nice lad on Saturday mornings that would fill the car up with petrol, then check the oil, do the tyres, and for good measure then go out back and get one of the big bags of potatoes that they and put potatoes in the back of the car. I can tell you that queue used to be all the way down Ware Road. It was huge. Anyway, so I think you can do a question now. I was going to have another quick question, but we've kind of done that one. Hang on, Kev. We've milked that one.
I'm really surprised you didn't do the cow.
I haven't got the cow effect at the moment. Anyway, go on, your question.
Connor Gowers says, this is also from 12 weeks ago. Hi, Neil and Kevin. QQ, would either of you want to try using the old medium format film camera, the Pentax 6x7? Ooh. I've recently got one with the 105mm f2.4 lens. Ooh. I love it and just wanted your thoughts on it. Also, my Instagram is f350films. So at f350films, all one word, Instagram. Numbers. If you would like to see some photos I've taken with it. So we shall do that. By the way, anybody who writes in questions wise, or from the Facebook, etc., feel free to promote your Instagram or whatever. Absolutely no dramas with that whatsoever. Might get you a few extra followers. I am now following.
Well, I've just followed back. Connor Gowers, isn't it? Connor Gowers, F350 films. Oh, look at this.
Yeah, they're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really nice. You can tell they're shot on film, but you know, in a positive way. I love the black and whites of the cats and the alleyway and stuff.
But yeah, I'm looking at the one of the sort of the light green house. That we're now looking at sort of nostalgic kind of scenes. That could have been shot, I don't know, that could have been shot back in the 60s.
Well, he's tagged that as X100F.
Oh, right.
So I don't think he shot that on the Pentax.
Well, maybe he treated it like his film stuff.
Maybe some of the newer stuff is...
Looks terrific.
But anyway, regardless, it's a nice Instagram feed to follow that. I like that. Connor Gowers at F350films. You can follow him. But going back to the question, no, I've never shot... I have seen a Pentax 6x7.
Yeah.
It scared the bejesus out of me, so I can't imagine me ever getting involved in that kind of stuff. But I certainly do admire the results people get. I mean, I've always wanted to get into, you know, black and white film photography. Yeah. I have no experience with it; wouldn't even know where to start. And the reason why I've always thought I've got a good opportunity with it is because we've got our cottage is about 700 years old, and our bathroom is in the middle of the house. No windows, and so it would be perfect.
Oh, I see.
However, there's one slight problem with that.
Gemma
would kick me out.
Gemma, what do you think of the? No, not very keen on that idea at all. No.
So, it's never happened to me. But what about you?
Well, I can see where he's got his passion from for this, because when I had a studio, I had, what was it? It was a Mamiya RZ67. That was it. And it was a beautiful camera. And it was a really, I did a college course using that. And also a Nikon, which I've still got. Have I still got that one? Nikon F5, which is a brick of an SLR. Beautiful camera. And but the RZ67, yeah, the loading process also, it just took forever, Kev. It was wonderful. And I had a prism on mine as well, so that I didn't look down into it. Mine came with a prism. But that was a one. So I understand exactly what he's talking about. I think it's a lovely idea, Kev. You don't have to. You could build a shed out back, Kev. I've seen your garden. I think there's room.
My building skills. Although I did build a table yesterday. I've often thought about going on a film photography weekend or something like that. But I wouldn't. My hurdle is always the processing, because that's the bit that interests me. Doing that myself, I wouldn't want to be the person that has to send off to a lab and then get the negatives back. And
well, why not just
I just feel like I digitize them and edit them.
Well, why not just process the film and then scan that, as most people do these days?
Well, yeah, I can do that. I've got the technology here to do that.
Well, there we go. So if you want to go film shooting, Kev, I've got a few film cameras. Got a nice Leica up there as well.
It's that digitizing it and scanning it, then it just comes onto your computer, doesn't it? It's not. I like the idea of seeing the wet film, the photo appear.
Right, you want to be in a dark
and leaving it there, not editing it. Leaving it with all its beautiful. I'd be so tempted to, once it comes into the computer, to add a tweak here, tweak there, blah blah blah.
I don't think there's anything.
I know, there's nothing wrong with it. No. But I for me, the cathartic nature of this whole exercise would be shoot film
everything all the way through.
Do it, process it, watch the wet prints hang in, and then finish in there.
I get to do that every year in Scotland at this wonderful in Inverness at the Dark Room, and it is a wonderful day. It's just we go photographing the day before with film cameras. And then in the dark room and produce a print, an art print, hopefully, by the end of the day. It is such a wonderful thing. And if you're lucky enough to be anywhere near Inverness, I know this is probably a small part of the audience, but if you are, the dark room facilities there, the community dark, and there are other community dark rooms, are just brilliant. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. The paper's the thing that costs the money, Kev, more than the chemicals.
Is there a little fella that runs over and sticks a little white sticker on it that says overexposed?
So film, not for you then?
Well, it could be, but time, effort, knowledge, I don't have it.
Oh, Kev, you could learn it quickly. I'm telling you, Kev. Mastering it, totally different, but you could learn the basics of it. You could learn. And you've got a very mechanical mind in many respects. I mean, you just lay things out. You're very good at segmenting and compartmentalizing. So I know that you'd be able to look at the chart, you'd work out the film, you'd know how long it needed to be in the developer. You'd go all the way through the process with the papers. I can tell I'm not convincing you. Stop.
One day, when time is right, I'll go on a weekend course somewhere, I'm sure.
Well, Kev, if you ever want to come and learn, we can go together. I'll do that. Owen Richards. Hi, both. I've just finished doing a 365 on Instagram and loved it. Well, while we're doing Instagram stuff, this one is Owsie77. So at OWSIE77, Owsie77. 99% of my images are black and white. Now, I want to start to change my look, i.e. colour, not just shadows and silhouettes, and wonder how to transition into this. My question is, should I start a new Instagram account with all my other images and colour, urban, seaside, street, and keep the original account as it is? I've loved and listened to the cast since around episode 8. My word, Owen, you deserve a medal. Kev, one day I'd love to have a beer and chat about Jim Marshall and Johnny Cash after a street workshop, both heroes of mine. Thanks both, from Owen Richards. So have you gone to the Instagram account yet?
Yeah, I was already following it, actually.
Ah, very
good. And I've just noticed that my wife is also following him.
Oh, okay. Stuff you find out, Kev, eh?
Yeah, sometimes. Followed by Saren underscore Ellis 77.
Yeah. Well, why not? Maybe she likes his work.
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
There we go. Yeah. I pressed follow as well. Oh, yeah, I like nice. The silhouette work. Yeah, I suppose if you started to break this up with something that's very different, it might confuse the audience. What do you think?
What was the question again? Sorry, I was looking at the pictures.
Okay. I've just finished doing the 365. All of my images are black and white. I want to change the look, i.e. colour, and not just shadows and silhouettes, and wonder how to transition. Question is, should I start the new Instagram account with all the other images, like the colour and the urban and the seaside street, and keep the original account as it is? Not to confuse the audience.
Right, okay, point taken. Yeah. Ultimately, it depends on what your ambitions are with this. You know, is it simply a place for you to share your pictures, or is there any kind of commercial element to it? Are you selling prints? Are you looking for commissions? That kind of thing, in which case probably makes more sense to keep it brand strong.
Does it have to be? But not everything has to be. We've had this conversation this week.
It doesn't have to be, but if this is a brand and you're selling it as a brand, then I would suggest.
You don't have to be selling a brand. It can be a brand of it can be an extension of your artistic output, can't it?
Yeah, but that was the question I asked. Is this, you know, do you sell prints? Do you, you know, is there a commercial element to this? Do people approach you for commissions, in which case they will all be black and white because that's what he's offering now? Mm-hmm. So that was my point. If not the case, i.e. this is just a personal project, then I don't see any issues at all in putting the colour stuff. But because the Instagram, what do they call it, the homepage of the Instagram thing?
Grid,
yes. Yeah. Because that's so beautifully curated and he's actually put thought into like which images go next to each other and stuff like that, I would take that into account. So maybe you do, I don't know, 9 black and whites, 9 colours, 9 black and whites, 9 colours, you know, that kind of thing, rather than randomly dropping in a colour one here and there. I think that would ruin the flow of the grid.
If it's a commercial
endeavour, then I would potentially think twice. You see, there is one, look, if you scroll down far enough, there's a Christmas tree, a colour Christmas tree.
Where is it?
And it stands out like a Christmas tree.
I don't think, by the way, that the commercial thing here should be the barometer or the reason behind protecting the grid and popping the other colour work on an alternative account, because as an amateur or hobbyist, you can also have a brand identity, Kev. You don't have to be taking the almighty dollar or pound. You can have brand identity regardless of it being a business. The beauty here is the consistency, isn't it? I think the commercial thing isn't the factor here, right? It's his personal brand of photographic style that's the consideration, I think.
But my point is, if he is selling black and white prints, or he has commissions from people that come to him via Instagram, it will be based on his black and white work. And so I would not advise, you know, kind of breaking that up. But like I said, if it's not, because that is the brand is what's in people's minds.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't have to be commercial. That's all I'm saying. A brand doesn't have to be commercial.
No. Of course, it doesn't have to be commercial. That's the unknown. That was the question I'm asking. Yeah. If it is commercial, then I would say no.
But I'm equally saying, even if it isn't commercial, I would still say no, because I think this is absolutely beautiful work and you're identified for it. Having said that, as you go much, much further down, there's a lot of colour, Kev. So at some stage, only 56 weeks ago, actually. So not that long. Around about 56 weeks ago came the decision from Owen to go with this very stylized black and white silhouette thing. So that
when did this email come in that you're reading?
It came in at the start of March.
Okay. So looks like he used to do that, changed his mind, and now he's considering it again.
What do you think about multiple Instagram? Moving on to a wider question about multiple Instagram accounts. What do you think, Kev? What's your thoughts on having different accounts doing different things?
Well, I've got three.
Yeah.
Two of which I never use.
And the reason for that is because you think, oh, I haven't got time to invest in that.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
not bothered.
Is that another part of the consideration of this, that if you want to show and share your work, if we take away the commercial element, I'm assuming there's no commercial element here, just for the sake of this conversation. If you take that away, you'd be saying, you know, share more, don't worry so much about the stylized feel to it. Because yeah, you're more likely to post more.
Yeah, I mean, you'll end up with, if you start a new one, you'll end up finding it hard to get traction with it. Of course you will, same as everybody else. And so that might kind of push away the ambition and the kind of want to spend time on the other profile. Yeah. But maybe not.
Let me look up your Mullins one. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because I'm a follower of yours, but I haven't seen yours come up in the algorithm for a little while now. I don't like that. I like to... Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
are Mullins underscore monochrome, Mullins underscore portraits. But yeah,
you're very...
I mean, if I look at the Mullins underscore monochrome one now, that has got, and it's the first time I've looked at it in a very long time, 1,100 followers.
Okay.
But the last time I posted anything on there was 31 weeks ago, and prior to that was 46 weeks ago.
36,000 on your main channel, and you're very, very varied with what you do, and you always were, regardless of whether, you know, in the times where you were shooting lots and lots of weddings to the times where you're shooting not so many, you were always varied, weren't you? You would put up a family picture. You would put up a portrait amongst your weddings and the pictures from España. And, you know, you don't mind being varied, do you?
No.
You think it's a good thing?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's a good or a bad thing. I mean, it doesn't bother me, put it that way. But, you know, it does, when I look at my grid compared to Owen's grid, like visually his is more attractive because it's all black and white, apart from if you go back far enough.
Yeah.
Whereas mine's a bit of a cluster of stuff. You know, I mean, my recent posts have got street photography pictures on there and all sorts.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, now that's always worked. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I've just seen something.
You know.
Happy Christmas, everybody. In fact, you didn't even write Happy Christmas. You write, "Hey, yep, Christmas, everybody." And it's you standing there with an elf bag that says, "I just like to smile. Smiling's my favourite."
I put that up every Christmas.
I've never seen that one, Kev.
I look about 15 years younger.
Brilliant. Oh, there's a guy here, one of the comments were from Our Man in Liverpool. Do you know Our Man in Liverpool, by the way?
I don't think so.
Anyway, he says, "For F's sakes, stop being grumpy." That is really... Oh, I must make sure to look for that and put... Can I put the link to that in the show notes? I think that's brilliant. I love it. I love it, Kev. Right, go on. Your question.
Okay, on Christmas theme, Oswald Mandel, again, remember this was sent in just after Christmas this year, says, right. If you had to pick your favourite photograph from the holiday season, which one would it be and why?
Oh, God, that was a long time ago now, Kev. We're in April.
You know what? I don't really think I took many pictures of Christmas.
No,
we were all over the place. And, you know, my dad went very well. We were everywhere. We were in Shropshire, Wales, here. I'm sure I did take some pictures, but to be totally and 100% honest, they've probably all taken on my phone.
Yeah, okay.
Can't recall off the top of my head. I don't know. I mean, in the past, years gone by, some of my favourite ones are, you know, Albie when he was little, getting just the look on his face when he got a box of something, Lego or whatever, something that, you know, within a week would have been discarded and thrown away, more than likely. But, you know, just the face, the sheer excitement. And I've got a lovely picture of Rosa one year. It was Albie's birthday. And I did this fast motion photo film. It is on my YouTube somewhere, of the day, Albie's birthday day. Right. And it started in the morning and finished at night. And in that day, we kind of had breakfast. We opened presents. We went to Wales, went to Barry Island. They went on the fairground, came back over the Severn Bridge, all of that kind of stuff. And there's a sequence where Albie's opening his birthday presents. And Rose is really happy for him and excited, etc. And then he opens like something big. Again, I don't know what it was. Big box, and you can see her face just drop, and her arms go across her chest, and a little tear starts rolling down her eyes because she suddenly realized that actually she isn't getting anything.
Oh,
it's his day, not her day.
Oh,
you know, I mean, she would have been about six or something, I guess.
Yeah. Don't you do happy unbirthday presents in your house?
Happy unbirthday.
Yeah, we do a happy unbirthday for the boys. So the other, it's not a big present. It's only a little. You get your happy unbirthday present. We sort of did that right from the early days. So on your special day, you still got a little prezi, but it was your happy unbirthday prezi day.
Yeah, that's quite a nice idea, especially when you got kids that are close together in age. Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
I felt for Jack last week though on his 16th. 16, Kev. Oh, on his 16th. So he had his prezis and. A few days before his birthday, actually, because it just fell at the weekend and we did this part. We got him a pizza, one of these pizza ovens. He loves food, loves pizza. And we all made pizzas and started from the dough, Kev. Started from the dough stage. I tell you what, I've got a whole new respect for the people at Domino's that are able to throw those things around their head and then lay them out perfectly formed every single time. But and then Tuesday was his actual birthday. And so there were not really any prezzies that day, but his brother kept some stuff back, little Thomas. And he'd wrapped up, bless him, an iPhone box. And he gave this iPhone box. He weighted it inside as well. So it felt like there was an iPhone inside. And, and he gave him this present. And Jack unwrapped it. And he thought, oh, an iPhone? And then... We looked at him and said, no, don't think so. And Thomas said, got ya. Veronica Barnes has written in. Hello, Kev. Hello, Neil. I've recently switched to, here we go, PickTime. To your credit. I have some PickTime questions. Should have done this right at the start if we'd have thought of this properly. Do you load your photographs in sRGB? So we'll start with that one.
Yes.
Yep,
is everything that's going to be displayed digitally should be in sRGB.
Why not Adobe? Just to get the question.
Because it will look pants in a web browser.
Right.
All the colour will look terrible, washed out, look awful.
So sRGB is always the way.
Yeah.
She did say, actually, I did think that was for loading on the web to view. So you're right, Veronica, yes. I've used RGB or Profoto Color Space when uploading to a different site in the past. If I want my clients to download files and buy and purchase prints, will the sRGB, as PickTime suggests, affect the prints? Ooh.
Shouldn't do. Not now. Not modern printing technology shouldn't have an impact. The only time I've ever been requested to send an ARGB file was a very long time ago to a print lab who said, you know, we only deal with ARGB, and that was for a kind of fine art print that was, you know, very detailed, I suppose. But yeah, not these days.
If
you're going direct to a specialist lab,
they
might ask for ARGB, but it's unlikely. And I'm certainly not through PickTime. I don't think you'd have any issues.
When was the last time you worked with CMYK?
Blimey. Yeah, that's going back a bit, isn't it?
Just wondering what your process is for uploading to PickTime. Well, I think that's sorted there. It's sRGB. As far as file size, do you upload full resolution files and let PickTime compress them? Or are you guys using JPEG Mini or some other compression program prior to uploading? My Fuji files out of the X-T5 are huge. I don't want to load huge files under PickTime. I'm very interested in your exporting and unloading process as far as files being loaded into a PickTime gallery. As always, hope all is well with you and your families. Love the podcast from Veronica. So I don't have an X-T5, so I'm not talking about huge 40-megapixel files, but I'm not sure I'd change my process anyway. I just put up the full res, because you'll need to if they're taking them down the other end to make huge prints with, wouldn't you?
Yes, upload the full res images always to PickTime. I export them from Lightroom. You can get a PickTime plugin that will do the transfer from Lightroom directly to PickTime. I don't do that for several different reasons, but you know, they're not really relevant. But they're always full size, exported full size, 100% from Lightroom. And I don't tinify them, JPEG minify them, or anything like that. Obviously, if I'm putting them on my website for my blog, then they're exported at 2,500 pixels on the long edge, and then I put them through tiny PNG. But for the client stuff, no, full size, up it goes. Doesn't take that long, and I'm in the countryside. You know, we don't have particularly fast broadband. Just leave it running. Might take 20 minutes or
so. Imagine doing that in dial-up days.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, actually.
all those hours listening to it. That's why.
Yeah.
I've just got to go. I'm done. I need to upload and download some stuff. I'll be away for 5 days. I'm interested in the 2,500 pixel thing. I know I do the very same thing, but with the way you explain things technically, Kev, why do you, because not all your pictures on the website will be displayed at 2,500 pixels wide, why do you load stuff at 2,500 pixels wide?
Because that's the widest point on my Squarespace website, and on most Squarespace websites, that's the default. You can set it wider, but you shouldn't. You can set it narrower, but I wouldn't. So 2,500 pixels, and then Squarespace actually creates multiple versions. So if you have like a featured image, for example, which I think is about 400 pixels wide, it will minify itself, create a 400 pixel version. And you know, if you ever inspect the code behind your website and you look at the images, you'll see that you have, you know, let's say wedding photography 1.jpg, and you'll see that there is wedding photography 1 hyphen 2500px.jpg hyphen 500px.jpg, etc., etc. So Squarespace does all the heavy lifting there.
What have you changed your picture sizes? You know, if suddenly you change the design of your website and say, well, I don't want to do 500 anymore, those small ones, I'm going to make them 600. Would it take the 500 ones and make them 600, or would it go for the 2,500 ones and make those 600?
Yeah, no, it renders it properly. It does it all for you.
So you don't want it taking the 500 to go to 6. You want it to take the larger one.
It takes the largest one, right, renders down.
So it would intelligently render them down. That's very clever, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Another one of the reasons why I'm glad I don't do WordPress anymore.
How many years have you been away from WordPress now, Kev?
Six. I don't know. I still run the rugby club WordPress site, which is, you know.
I bet you don't look forward to doing that.
No. Well, but saying that, WordPress in the last 6 years may well have come along leaps and bounds. I have no idea. I'm sure it has.
Yeah. Well, you're very happy with Squarespace, aren't you? So. Well, that's it for another couple of weeks. Kev, you've got lots of duties to do now. We won't go over the red wine and crisps stuff again because...
Well, the one I've got to go to now in about an hour is the Stations of the Cross, which is the most painful one for me because it involves genuflecting multiple times on one knee and on my left knee, which is my bad knee.
Genuflecting?
Yeah, kneeling on one knee.
I've never heard it called genuflecting before. I wondered for a minute when you said the next one today involves me genuflecting. I thought, my God, what sort of stuff are you going to? Anyway, have a good Easter, Kev. I know by the time you hear this Easter, a lot of the Easter bit will be done. But if you celebrate that, if that's a festival that you celebrate, happy Easter to you as well. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye, Kev.
The Fujicast is an independent Loading Zone production. Email the show with your questions and words of wisdom to click@fujicast.co.uk. Email any complaints and political nonsense to our wives, who will deal with your comments in their own good time and in their own good way.